Hello everyone, welcome to another IT Career Talk with professionals. And today I have a Chief Technology Officer. But before we begin, please don't forget to hit that red subscribe button. So my guest today is Ms. Cleo Credo. Good day, Ms. Cleo.
Hello, good day everyone, and also to the viewers of Young CTO. So thank you, Rafi, for inviting me, and it's really a pleasure to be here.
Thank you also so much. And from you yourself, a very young CTO, no? Please describe to us naman your role and responsibilities.
Okay, so currently I'm the CTO of StarTechUp. It's a software development company, and most of our projects are web, mobile, Android, and iOS, and we also have projects with IoT. So, and apart from that, I'm also a senior software engineer. That's the role I spent most of my years in the tech industry. So I think we will give more highlight on my role as a CTO. So as a CTO, I explore different technologies and introduce them to the team. And I also conduct technical assessment in software systems, and also come up with system architecture design, project development timeline estimates, and resource allocation. So apart from that, I'm also involved in planning product roadmaps for our clients and perform code reviews with the engineering team. So I act as the head of engineering, where I lead teams to project execution. So basically anything technical, I'm the person to go. So yeah.
And mm-hmm. just to expand on that, though, I think you already mentioned some of the skills and that you have, no, to be a chief technology officer. Maybe the question is more towards like, how did you transition from being a like you said, a senior developer to a CTO? Mm-hmm. No, what were the areas that you had to acquire or improve on to become ready as a chief technology officer?
Actually, to be honest, I was not ready at all. Like, I didn't expect this. This was actually offered to me just recently, like last year, December. And I didn't saw this coming at all. So my role mostly is on team growth. So I think one key role of a CTO is to make sure the company stays on top of modern technology and that the company would advance in terms of technical aspect. So I think it's an advantage to have someone with a strong technical background to be able to carry out this task. And personally, I enjoy experimenting on different kinds of frameworks, whether it be on web, and sometimes I go into hardware. And I think that the curiosity, I think that's one of the strong points that I have as a person. And with this role, I look forward to exploring different technologies that would leverage the company's technical prowess, and analyzing also and mixing up with, you know, like before when I was a developer, I was just focused really on building a robust application. You know, it's sustainable, and it will be flexible in terms of like future developments. But right now I had to also learn about, like, you know, business requirements and the costing, so and the architecture should also fit for the client specifications. And in relation to that, on the management side, really is the team growth. Like I'm also involved in the tech community, and I have been sharing also my skill set. I I'm frequent in tech conferences, in meetups, and I think that's I think one key factor of a CTO, that you're able to leverage the skills of the people in your team, and also to make them grow in terms of skill sets. So I would come up with strategies, learning plan on how to upskill the team that would align also to their career goals. Like, for example, one team member would say, I would like to go to data science. So I would match them up with a project that would allow them to learn about data science. And drive the team in upskilling. So I think those are Did I answer your question?
Yes. In fact, I think it already answered my next question is about your management style. No? Sabi mo, it's like grinding. No? Parang you try to align your team to the projects that they could develop.
The company is also like very... we would like to also help them achieve their goals, not just give them projects that really is already in their current skill set, but we also want them to grow. So that's why we ask them for skills assessment, like what do you really want to do? You want to do data science, machine learning? Okay, we'll try to find projects with this so that they will be able to really explore on that technology. So,
right,
yeah.
Right. And it's in your team, it's fairly common that they know what they want. We sometimes say sometimes our customers don't know what they want. For your team, naman, your developers, they know what they want.
Sometimes there's like a population that doesn't really know, but they will find out later on that I'm really more inclined onto the visual part, so they want to delve in more on the front end side. It's not always that they know what they want. It's more like they discover later on, and then they come to me and say, "Oh, it could there be projects that, you know, could help me, you know, delve into this or something like that."
Right. Mm-hmm. You mentioned a little while ago that, you know, coming from a senior developer position and becoming suddenly the CTO, did this stop you from coding? You still actively code, and you mentioned you do a lot of technologies. Where is there a particular set of stack that you prefer?
Yeah, I still code. I do bug fixing on the previous projects I've worked on before, and sometimes if there's a new feature, then I work on that. And I also jump into projects, especially if they're within my tech stack. So mostly it's on the web and anything related to JavaScript and Python. And I also do cloud related stuff. So different providers like Azure, Google Cloud, and AWS. And yeah, but though a huge chunk of my time daily is spent on meetings, which I really hate, by the way, and management now that I'm a CTO. But despite this, I make sure that I code on a daily basis. Let's say 30 to 40% of my time is spent on coding. So I always make sure that I will never let go of my developer roots.
I see.
Yeah.
So I guess we wanted to ask also, now that it's remote working, right? Mm-hmm. How has your team adapted, or especially you in a management position or CTO position, how have you made remote working possible for your team?
Of course, our company would prioritize health above else. And now that we are in this situation, it would be difficult for us to gather in an office setting. So we don't have an office anymore as of the moment. So all of us are fully remote working. Mm-hmm. And we have team members who are in Cebu City, and because our company is based in Cebu, but some are in the provinces. So we make sure that we carry out in terms of management, we trust in our team that they're accountable and that they're independent. We give them the full trust on that, and I'm just very blessed also to work with developers who are really professionals and would carry out their jobs really well, and they love their work. And so also another thing about the remote work is that we, as much as possible, we prefer the office setting, because you know it's really different when you work with a team and you see them and you know you have fun with them, even though like there's like challenging task also being a developer, but then knowing that because of we in our organization, it's really like a flat level, like we don't think much of titles. Like you can just call on anyone whenever you need help. You can just like pair program even if that person is not involved in the project. So we value teamwork above else, and I think being in a remote work setting, it actually still allows us by conducting meetings, but then it's really different when you're in the presence. But then we also provide equipment to the team. So for those who are a way we make sure that their needs are being met in terms of like the equipment or the learning they want to learn about other technologies. From back ender, she wants to probably go to front end, so we have courses, we purchase paid courses for that also. So yeah.
And now that you are the CTO as well, how about hiring? What's your strategy for hiring? Do you look at certifications? Do you look at portfolio? Do you look because you have that background, no? Do you look for people that are similar to you? What's your hiring strategy?
Actually, we're really results based. So on our side, we. Certifications are really good to have, but then it's we put more value on portfolio. So GitHub or in Bitbucket or in GitLab or whatever code repository you have, then we ask for projects and what's your involvement in that, and sometimes we ask for, and like most of the time really we ask for your GitHub profile, and we look at your source code and we read it, and then for me, I think skills really above all else. Like, because companies hire because they want people who can do the job that are already deployable in a project. And so that would give you higher percentage in terms of like the job pool if you have this, if you can prove that you can do JavaScript, you can do Python, you can do cloud administration. You can prove all these things, then that would really make you stand out among the other candidates. So yeah, portfolio.
And it seems like full stack developers have a better advantage, or not necessarily.
It depends, because we also hire depending on what we have clients also that requires a specific skill set. So it depends, like front ender or back ender, but then full stack. We would also love to have full stack, but then full stack are much more in demand because they can, you know, shift between the ground up, right? Like if you want to assign them in a front end, they can do it, in a back end, they can also do it. But it really depends, because there's also specialization also pays a lot, also, yeah. So it depends on what we're hiring for. So there's no really preference. Like if you're full stack, yeah.
Do you consider yourself a full stack developer also?
No? Yeah. So I'm mostly back ender, but I can do front end with front end JavaScript. So I know React, Vue, Angular a little bit, but I don't really like Angular. So yeah, so these kinds of things.
So you know, going back into history, you know, and just to understand how you got your skills, your role, mm-hmm. And your inclination to IT, you know, did you grow up dreaming that you would always be an IT professional? Now, like in high school, was IT like your first choice, or was it like mm-hmm. maybe second or third, or even, you know, it just so happened to appear in front of you? What was your story like?
I took BS Computer Science in college for scholarship, so I didn't really, I have no idea what I'm getting into the very first day, college first day.
Basically, I mean, how did you even get that scholarship, right? I mean, is it because, so basically you chose that course because there was a scholarship. Is that
correct? Yeah, actually I am qualified for the scholarship, but I'm only allowed to take technology courses, and the only technology course I think in UP Cebu is computer science. That's why I took that one. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I didn't really like computer science before, like programming in general, but then I attended Startup Weekend when I was in third year, and I was in a team of students, and we come up with a product and we coded it. It's a web application. And that really was like the turning point in my life, because I saw a glimpse of what we will be doing out there. Like we will build products, we'll build services, minus the business model canvas, because it's Startup Weekend, unlike the hackathon where the technical aspects are given more more importance. But yes, it made me excited that you're going to build products and services that's going to be used by people. And with that, I found a purpose. Like, oh, I'll be doing something meaningful if I, you know, if I go into software development. And so, yeah, I decided to do better at my studies at that point. So from third year to fourth year, I tried to, you know, because I was just content with a passing grade. Uh-huh. And I tried to be better also on the rest of the years that I have left.
Right.
And then I worked as software developer in front end first. Then I quit because I was enticed with the freelancing world. So I freelanced for 1 year and then I got lonely because you're the only one working.
What enticed you to the freelancing world? No, from what did you see? Parang what was your preconception? Was it like pag freelancing? Walay uras-uras, ano? What was the pre-concept when you were, ano?
I like about freelancing. What enticed me was the fact that you have the freedom of flexibility because you're going to work from home, and also like the higher compensation, like in terms of being in a company, like, but you're going to be you're paid by project base or by hourly rate, and you know that's really, money is always a motivation for people, especially for those who are just starting in their IT career.
Right.
And also you get to choose projects, like you're basically the boss of your own time and your own software development career, because you get to choose a project,
right,
and you get to advise technical tech stack, or oh, let's do this in JavaScript, oh no, let's do this in Python instead, so something like that. And then I got lonely because I'm the only one who's working, and so I decided to work again, and that's where way back 2017 I joined StarTech Up, and from there I was hired as a web developer, then I got to lead my own team, and after that I became a CTO apparently.
I hope you don't mind though, maybe it's a sensitive question, but if you are climbing positions, no, that means was there a former CTO, or was there the company grew that it needed a CTO?
Actually, it grew that it needed a CTO, because the person who's actually doing all of this, like team growth and all, is the CEO itself, Sir Baptiste Leroux. So then we grew, and then we had more people. So that's how I came into the picture, and my main role really is to upskill the team and to lead them to further develop what they have,
right.
To harness them. Yeah, I think that's mostly the role of a CTO.
And congrats on being handpicked. No? It was like you really were picked, right? It wasn't like many people applied and then you got picked, right? Because you said you were shocked, or you didn't expect it. No? So
I don't think they were applying for it. The management, the management before thought of it, and it was very unexpected, and it was just very recent. So yeah, but I'm learning every day.
Right. And to our audience and to the youth, now becoming a CTO, especially at a very young age,
I'm 26 years old, and sometimes I get compared to people who are, you know, much older, and I'm like, sometimes I you know, we're all human, right? Like sometimes you have this vulnerability, and but then it's always about, you know, taking how you take it, and so I just take it as a challenge, and probably me being here and telling all of this, maybe it would inspire people also. So yeah.
Yes, I've, you know, that's absolutely correct. coming from myself as a very young CTO at the time also, it's really more about, for, again, my own experience. Like, it's more about, you know, just accepting the challenge, the weight on the shoulder. It's not really about the age anymore. It's about just the responsibility and direction, I would say.
Yes.
Right. So, as I was about to ask, kasi the title does connote some kind of success. How do you personally define your success? What makes you successful?
What makes me successful? What defines success? Actually, for me, if I see my team really thriving and really learning a lot, and not just only my team, but to the tech communities that I also lead, that I think that's considered a success already. The fact that you are there and you were able to make a difference or probably help them in any way, in any form, then I think that's already success. And I think success is very subjective, right? It differs from people to people. And I guess above all, what makes me successful, I wouldn't be here where I am now without the people I've met along the way. Like those people who helped me and also those people who challenged me, it shaped me to the person that I am now. And I guess it's really true that you need to surround yourself with people who will inspire you, who will support you, and who will challenge you. Of course, I'm just one person in the management, but what really drives it all is the team. They are the heart and soul of the company. And I'm just very blessed to work with talented developers, and I owe it to them for being really good at what they do. And I, like I say, I continuously learn from them day to day. And of course, being in a developer community helped me a lot, like really a lot. I cannot stress enough the importance of being in a community. It's very important to find your tribe, like people who will be your cheerleaders, who will support you, people you'll grow with and you'll collaborate with. So if ever you're you're still starting out or you're already in the software development industry, I suggest that you really would reach out to your developer communities out there, because it can really help you a lot.
Speaking about developer communities, I can sense this is a passion of yours. Now, what other, maybe you can expand more on that and other passions that you have?
I've been involved in the tech community. It actually started very recently, only 2019, but I've always wanted to. I don't consider myself an expert, but sometimes I have this conception that in order for you to speak, in order for you to share what you have, you need to be an expert, but actually that's not very true. So you're right, this is one of my passion to actually build a community where people are safe and people are in, you know, an inclusive community where developers can just learn. It's just free education, and we strive that whatever we organize, it's really for free. And aside from that, I'm very passionate about gender diversity and representation. Like, it's not just women, but everyone, every minority out there will be represented, because I believe that the tech industry is, there's really a place for everyone in the tech industry. Some people may say you need to have, you know, strong academic background, strong technical inclination, but again, it's possible for people who have, you know, coming from different background to shift the careers from a non-tech to a tech to a tech career. And if they can, then you can too. But then also the yeah, so I guess that's it.
So I just have one last question for you, guys. Just to wrap up now, what's your advice for, you know, for our audience, parang, you know, how to be you po, na yun yung, parang, what's your general advice to them?
Actually, when that question, how to be you po, I think it's a wrong question, because we're all different we're all unique in our ways. But I was able to get what you mean. So probably I would suggest is that being in a tech industry is really going to be challenging because it's a very, very dynamic field. Like what you have right now may change in 5 years after. So it's good that you know how to learn. You know how to learn by yourself. You know, like we're a very lucky generation because we have the power to just look for information at the tip of our fingers. And I think that's something that most of us tend to overlook and not maximize this one. So if you have the time, if you also have the passion, then learn anything that you want to learn. and whatever goals that you set for yourself, of course, discipline is there, effort is there, hard work is there. And perseverance. So I think this is all cliche things that what can you advise to people. And also my opinion about people who have strong academic background versus people who learn everything online. Good foundations will help you, but it's not everything. So it's good that it will be complemented with practical know-how, like your portfolio will really help you a lot. And then if you're from also someone with no academic background, like you didn't graduate in a computer science or IT degree, then you know how to make a website or you know how to build an Android application all just by YouTube and all that. Then once you're at that stage, you go the other way, like you also review the fundamentals and the theory, because it will also help you a lot. So it's side by side. No one is greater than the other, but they should complement each other. They should go hand in hand. So yeah.
Well said, no? And to our audience, if you are able to relate, or if you want to do a follow-up, or you just want to do a shout out here in our channel and support, you know, support the YouTube, Spotify, and podcast. Mm-hmm. You know, just please do leave a comment or message me as the author of the podcast. No, you should also check the description as well to get the full description of the show. That's it. Yeah. Thank you so much, Miss
Thank you so much.
And we hope to hear from you again in
of
the
course.
Future, and also in the community. No?
Yeah. Thank you so much. It's been an honor.
Thank you so much. And audience, bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you so much.
And of course, if you like our content, don't forget to hit that like button, subscribe button, and notification bell.